Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. And let's all read verses 2 through 8 together. Ask God to speak to us. Ask God to reveal what He needs to reveal to us this morning. Amen. And that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Stay Steadfast with Jesus. Stay steadfast with Jesus. Since before we read these scriptures together, what pressed upon my spirit this week, it was confirmed with the prophet this morning, is that our nation is in turmoil. It's becoming diabolical. It's coming to the point where God is going to kick out the inhabitants of the land because of the sin in the nation. We just saw a governor in Virginia talk about the latest term abortion, where once the baby arrives, we'll put it on the table and make it comfortable, and then you guys decide whether we terminate it or not. We live in barbaric times. We live in times that are parallel to Rome. So if you did a study on who Rome was, they were like us. They were influential around the world. They had many ports of commerce. They were prosperous. They had the gladiators. We got the Super Bowls. They have everything other than an iPhone. But they had everything that we have today. But yet, what was their demise? They were corrupt immorally from the inside. And once they started collapsing from the inside, then that's when God brought enemies to destroy them and to remove them from the land. Are we almost there? I shared with the group this morning. There's a Russian submarine nuked up that's been in the Gulf of Mexico for 2 weeks, spied out, and they couldn't detect it. They're already spying out the land. God may use them to drive out the inhabitants of this land. Why? Because all the blood that's being spilt on the land, 63 million aborted already. If you miss Wednesday night, I'm telling you, these Wednesday nights are very vital. But I brought forth in the Word of God on Wednesday night that one of the reasons why we're having this abomination regarding these children being massacred and murdered. I highlighted. I went like this with this little, I got this little laser thing, and there was a word up there. There were many words. Jesus was pointing out to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, all these names that were in the heart of a man. But the one that is being overlooked, that's causing these abortions and these mass murderers on the tables of Planned Parenthood, that word I pointed out was called fornication. Fornication. You know what fornication means? That means sleeping with people without coming to the altar and coming together as one in Christ. They're sleeping and having kids left and right. And then, if they don't want the kid, they'll abort the kid. They'll just kill the kid. This is what's taking place in this nation right now as we speak. And God's going to have his final say. This is where I believe that God is going to bless the remnant church. If we're the church that say who we are, walking in truth, then we need to be that church that's part of the remnant. Can I get an amen? That'll stand for righteousness. That will come together in truth and love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. But that's what's destroying. Is we got so much lust in the world. It's in the media. It's in television. It's on your iPhone. It's everywhere. And it's causing men and women to forsake the laws of God, to come together illegally, shacking and packing. That's right. Living in sin. Having babies left and right. And then, well, you know what? Oh, I can't afford this child no more. So we'll just abort it. Jesus. You won't hear this in many churches. You know why? Because it's all about, oh, we just want to worship. And go home and still live like the devil. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. This is why I hope you come back at 5 o'clock to see what's taking place. Right underneath our nose. And the church is like this. Oh, I got a hole in my CPAP machine. Wait. Let's look at this. Let's read. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearing reader of his word. You may be seated. I shared, we've been praying for my aunt. Many of you have been praying for certain situations in life, right? And that's the lifeline. That's the lifeline to God. That's the Wi-Fi connection. It's prayer. Praying, asking God. So how do you respond when God doesn't answer your prayers? How do you respond? That's the question I want to ask this morning. How do you respond when God doesn't answer your prayers? How many have prayed for years and still haven't seen the condition and the petition that you lifted up? It hasn't changed yet. It still remains the same. I think all of us can fall into that category, huh? Saints, does your faith waver if it doesn't provide what you've requested in the time and manner you expected? Although it may seem that the problem of fluctuating faith is the result of unanswered prayer, it's actually caused by a misunderstanding of what God is doing in your life. See, when God is doing something in your life, he don't answer you right away. That's not in his nature to do so. He is the King of Kings. We are the subjects. We are the servants. Can I get amen? Amen? Jesus is not a genie in the bottle.
That's right.
Oh, let me just rub this right now. I need this right now. You need to understand the mind of God, because God already declares from heaven. He declared it to Isaiah thousands of years ago, right up here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In layman's terms, we just got little pea green brains. They're tiny. They're minute. Saints, you and I, we need to understand who God is. And once we understand who God is, we'll learn how to be steadfast with him. But if you have a whole different mindset on who he is, guess what? In your mind, he has disappointed you. You think, oh, you know why? Because you're trying to box him in your own thought life. God doesn't work that way. Look at what it says right up here. Teach me. We need to cry out, teach me your way, O Lord. His way, not ours. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Are you catching this this morning? Because it's all about him. We need to point to him. We need to point to Christ. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinance before me, said King David. King David found out that, man, my way just got me in a whole big mess. God had a better way. He had a better plan. Can I get an amen? How many believe that God has a better plan than whatever we can scheme up? Because you know why? This mind is tainted. This heart, the Bible said, is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. I'd rather go with God's plan. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at what it says in Proverbs. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Man, we have to sometimes come under that discipline of the Lord and allow him to discipline us, especially when we want pride to rise up. You know, we can have that attitude. Say what? You got to be kidding me, man. You know how we go. Instead of, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Saints, the book of James tackles the issue of doubting by first addressing God's purpose for our trials. Look what he says. We just read this, but let's read it again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Patience. Some of us have wayward children, have wayward spouses, have wayward friends and family, right? And we're saying, man, when are you going to get a hold of them, God? Well, guess what? He will in his time. We have to have the patience. You know what? God's allowing us to see how we're going to react through the trial. We need to have patience. No, but we want results. I want results now. Now. We want to have a Jiffy popcorn life. Just throw it in the microwave. Yeah, it comes out hot and fresh in 5 seconds. And in 2 seconds, it turns into a rubber tire. Saying sometimes God doesn't immediately give the relief we seek, because he's using that particular trial to produce something good in us. Something good is going to come out of the trial. This is what I'm trying to encourage my cousins right now. Something good is going to come out of this. Trust God. Trust God. Look what James goes on to tell us. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But when's the last time we gone to God? Or did we try to figure it out ourselves? Our solutions will fail. Our solutions is temporal. God's solutions are from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. I'd rather do God's way. Can I get amen? Look what it says in verse 6. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord, but he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Jesus, help us. Listen, if God promised you something, be steadfast in it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. And then go back to his word, and he'll confirm it. Why? Because this is the book. This is the only book in print. We don't read it. It reads you. The word of God reads us. Because as we put our eyes on it, it's telling us who we are. That's the beauty of the word. It reveals to us the innermost secrets of a human heart. Something that we don't want ever to be exposed, but God exposes it to us. He pulls the covers on us. You better look a little harder. But one thing that he doesn't do to us, when we read, he exposes those deep secrets in our heart, but he doesn't shame us. You know who shames you? The devil. He's the one that will shame you. He'll put you on blast. He'll put you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. He'll post it up right away. That's right. Why? Because if the devil can tear down a child of God, man, he's done a whole lot of work on the church. Saints, God wants us to come to him with our requests. Can I get an amen? Trusting that he hears us. How many believe that he hears us? You have to believe he hears us. However, if he doesn't answer them immediately, it's not because he doesn't care. See, that's a wrong mindset already. His purposes are always accomplished according to his timing, not ours. He may answer in a different manner or a later date than we expect, but that's okay. That's why we must wait and trust him, Jesus, even when we see no evidence of an answer. Sometimes he doesn't give us a clue. Man, did I pray amiss? No, he heard you the first time. James says, when we doubt the Lord, we are like this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave driven and tossed by the wind. I believe today, and then tomorrow comes, man, I'm doubting this now. That's a man driven by the sea, tossed to and fro. And guess what? With that kind of mindset, you're not going to receive nothing. God wants you to believe him and be steadfast in it. Can I get amen? Amen. Saints, one minute, we can, we're confidently trusting God. Man, I trust the Lord. I praise him. I magnify him. Until the sand blows through the bag. And everything starts to collapse around you. The next moment, we're wondering if he answers prayers at all. Is he really answering my prayer? Perhaps, saints, we'll only believe him if he gives us a little encouragement along the way. You know, like a little nugget. We're always looking for a sign. Or sometimes, saints, we fuss and argue with the Lord, thinking this will motivate him to answer us sooner. You've got to hear me now. This is why you have to train up a five-year-old. And you got to put them in check at that tender age. Why? Because if you don't, when that kid is 15 or 20, man, they're going to want a Burger King life right in front of you. You know why? Because you didn't discipline them when they were younger. You didn't instill confidence and discipline in their life. You see, saints, but all of our doubts simply reveal that you and I, we fall in this category. We're just impatient. We don't know God's will, or we're not yet ready to receive his answer. Saints, whenever God delays in responding to our petitions, he's teaching us to consistently trust and believe him. We got to learn how to believe him. What's taking place in our nation right now? We need to trust God. God, I know you're in control of this. Oh God, we see the atrocity. Oh God, we see all these things coming, but God, keep me in your perfect will. Keep my eyes upon thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. Not because we see the answer, but because he's promised to hear and answer our prayer. He does answer our prayers. I hope you know that. But not in your time. Not in my time. Look at this. Here's the word. Let's go back to the word. Always go back to the word. Whenever I expound anything up here, we need to check it with the word. Can I get amen? So let's go to the word right now. Look what it says. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's you and I. We have the righteousness of Christ imputed upon us by faith. So when we come as a child of God, we don't stand in our own righteousness. We stand on the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. He has clothed us. His righteousness is now upon us. And now we stand behind the cross. Hallelujah. Knowing that he is our shield and our buckler. Hallelujah. He has become our righteousness. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Kineski. And then the rest of them. Hallelujah. Look at this. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Did you catch that? It didn't say his ears are open to the sinners. Now, when they repent, that's a whole different ballgame. That's a teaching for another time. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. These folks that are doing evil, God's face is turned from them. But it's turned to us. God's face is upon us. Why? Because we are the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Know that God is with us. Look what it says in 1 John. And if we know that he hears us, we just read that he hears the righteous, right? So if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So when you lift it up, wait for it. God will bring it in his time. In his time. It's like this. It's common sense. This is 101. Common sense 101. You put together a cake mix. You blend it. You put it in the cake pan. And now you put it in the oven. Well, it says it'll be done in an hour and 10 minutes. But you bring it out 30 minutes before time, and now you go to slice it up and eat it. Well, it's just going to flop. It's going to be what? Still liquefied. Why? Because you didn't wait for it. All you had to do was wait for the whole hour and 10 minutes. You would have had a nice piece of cake with a glass of milk. No. But we got to learn how to wait on God. Can I get an amen? Saints, when doubts arise because God delays, listen to me. It's due to our lack of trust in him. Not a lack of care or ability on the Lord's part. It's a lack of trust. This is why you probably got it on your refrigerator door. Some of you probably got it plastered on your Bible. You should have it written on the tablet of your heart. This scripture right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Yes, he will. But my question is this, saints. This is where we're going to really, we have to question ourselves. Why? Because all this is preparing us to see this DVD tonight. Because some of us are crying out, oh God, when are you going to stop the atrocity? How many more millions of babies have to be killed until you awaken them? Oh God, what's going on here? All 50 states now, same-sex marriage. What's going on, God? Why are all these laws changing now, God? Why isn't anyone honoring you and respecting you, oh God? And so we have to always look in our heart. We got to look in our heart. Can I get an amen? So, what causes our faith to waver? What causes it to waver? Today? Anytime.
News.
Yeah.
For news.
News.
Everywhere.
News, yeah. News could cause it to waver.
Doubt.
Confidence, doubt. That's right. That's right. All of that plays a major role, a major factor in it. Yes, it does. Well, let's look at this. Number one, we choose to rely on our feelings rather than the Word of God. It's what I feel like right now. You know, you didn't feel like that yesterday, but you feel different today for some reason. And you'll feel different tomorrow. But we rely on feelings instead of God's steadfastness in His Word. That's the problem. If we shift our focus from the promises in His Word to our feelings, our faith will become unstable. But when our faith is grounded in the Word, we never have to question what God says because we stand on what? Truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Light. That's right. King David understood this. This is the Old Testament, brother. Look at this. He said this, my soul melts from heaviness. We're all going to go through heaviness times, right? Strengthen me according to your word. God's word will strengthen you. But it won't if you're not reading it. You got to let God's word get in you. Can I get an amen? It's got to get in you. That's right. It's got to get in you. Because King David just said, you know how many people wanted to destroy this man? You know how many times he fell into iniquity? And yet, instead of running away from God, he ran toward God. Hallelujah. I like how Paul said it best. And you got to remember, the majority of the epistles that Paul wrote, he was chained up to someone. He was in a prison that didn't have the Donovan amenities. Donovan amenities have hot and cold running water. They have toilets and they have a sink. They get playtime. They get three meals. They get radio. They get flat screen TV. They watch the Super Bowl too. Oh, they get all that. Paul wrote this in a rat-infested prison, defecating on each other in there. You don't even want to walk into one of those prisons. Rat-infested. Wow. Jesus. But Paul said it best. Look what he said. He said this, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, when you have your moments of weakness, this is where God has to arise in you. Can I get amen? God has to arise in you. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Man, sometimes God will allow that headache. He'll allow that affliction to come upon you. Why? Because He's trying to teach you something. Man, maybe you were walking around with pride and maybe you thought you were so right and you just blasted somebody and said, you know what? I got to put you in timeout right here. And then all of a sudden, oh, now it's all about me. Oh, no. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, we want an easy way out. Oh, God, I don't like this right now. Well, guess what? God's trying to reprove something in us. Allow him to discipline you. Some of us need to be disciplined. Oh, yeah. Some of you may not come back next Sunday. That's okay. Because God's word won't come back void either. It'll get in you and it'll stay in you. It'll start agitating in there. It'll start mixing it up. Hallelujah. And then you think, oh, man, that's just me. No, it's God trying to mix up something. Look at this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, say that with me in this last verse, then I am what? Strong. Man. That's how you become strong, is through your weakness. Through your weakness. Can I get an amen? Number two, we yield to reason rather than believing God. No, it doesn't work like that. It works like this. Die to what? I ain't die to self. Man, I love this thing over here. God said, no. You need to separate from that. You need to die to that. I'm trying to do something in your life. Well, no, but I love that stuff over there. So then we yield to reason. I like it over here, man. Sorry, God. God, you need to take a back seat to that. I'm going to go wallow in this. And human reasoning and faith are not always what? Compatible. We may have all kinds of good reasons for making a particular request to God, but he sees more of the situation than you and I.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
If the Lord delays in answering, he has a divine reason that is good, legitimate, and helpful. He's always there to save our bacon. I hope you know that. Always there. Look what King David wrote here. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Then he goes on. Because he was always finding himself in a predicament where, man, my people forsook me. I fell in sin, and God, did you forsake me? And so his soul was cast down many times. But then he had to be reminded, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Through his circumstance, he still praised God. Hallelujah. Can you still praise God through your circumstance? Huh? Can you still worship and praise him? Hallelujah. When you don't have nothing in the bank. Hallelujah. Your cupboards are bare. Hallelujah. You're riding on fumes. Can you still praise him? Come on. Can you still praise him? My goodness. He said, for yet I will praise him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. We need to remember God in the midst of your storm. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. When it doesn't look good. Hallelujah. When the doctor gives you a report and says, well, this is the condition now, and it's going to go down further from this moment on. This is where you have to rise up in faith and say, oh, God, I believe you. I praise you. I glorify you, God. I know you're going to deliver my soul. He's the one that will deliver us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Here's another principle why we sometimes stray from the reasoning of God. And we take on the responsibility on ourselves. It's number three here. We fail to see God at work in our circumstances. We fail to see him. He's at work. I hope you know that he's at work. Even when we don't see it, he's at work. He's at work. If the Lord doesn't change our circumstances, it's because he's using them to bring us into maturity. His primary very purpose is not to give us everything we desire, but to shape us into the image of his son. He knows the perfect way to accomplish this. He does. We don't know how. That's right, we don't know how. I was talking to a good brother the other day, and some other brother kept telling him, you know, about his own wife. Well, you know, I'd like to see her more involved in this and that and that and this. I go, you know what? He's trying to form her in his image. Instead of let God form her in Christ's image. He does it in his time. Can I get amen? You love them through it. You teach them the way. But when you try to transform someone in your own image, guess what? You will be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. Knowing his good purpose frees us from worry and doubt and allows us to relax and wait patiently for the Lord to accomplish what he desires in our life. I'd rather wait on him and get the best that he has for me than to go out and go get it myself. Can I get an amen? Why? Because God said in his word. He said it right here in Romans. He said, and we know that all things, say that with me, all things, one more time, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And you and I, we've been called to his purpose. We are a people of purpose. We are in his final day plans. That's right. He chose you. Now, I don't know why he chose you, but he did. I don't know why he chose me, but he did. And so knowing that he chose us despite of ourselves, now walk in that grace. Can I get amen? Amen. Walk in it. Look at this. And here's another reason why. Number four, look at that. We listen to negative counsel of other people. Hey, come here. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw that they're rotten too. Yeah, we do that, don't we? Man, be careful. Listen, if you're going to get counsel, make sure that there's a witness. Make sure that there's two counseling. Can I get an amen? Because then the one can't go, well, this is what you said. You have a witness. Uh-uh, he didn't say that. Make sure. Because the Bible says two or three establishes a truth. Make sure there's always two. And make sure they use the word to counsel. Can I get amen? If they're not using the word and it's just their opinion, move on. Saying sometimes those around us may discourage us from persevering in prayer since it appears useless from their perspective. Did you catch that? Here, you're praying, and then they try to discourage you. You know why? Because they don't see that in prayer. A lot of them are not even in prayer. They reason that since God hasn't answered, there is something wrong with our request and we should stop praying about it. Saints, that's why it's wise to keep some of our prayer requests between us and the Lord sometimes. Oh God, this is between you and I right now. Because if I share this with someone else, you know, they're going to be like Job's friends. Remember the three that came and tried to counsel Job? They all meant well, but it was wrong counsel. Listen, I can back what I'm saying right now because God's word backs it. Can I get an amen? Look what he says right here in Colossians. See it to that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the element elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. Okay, let's just say the worst happened in your relationship with your wife or husband. And so, man, you got to put that one away now. You got, well, wait a minute. We serve the God that reconciles, that restores, a God that forgives. But they'll tell you something else. Oh, man, they're dirt. Cut them. Wait a minute. God wants to do something here. Even in the midst of the ugliest sin, even in the midst of betrayal, even in the midst of covenant and contract, if you want to say it, God can still make something that was horrible, beautiful in his time. Can I get an amen? Number five. We focus on the circumstances rather than God. We look at it like, it don't look good. We look again, don't look good. If you would have saw the faces of all my family with my aunt laying there with all the gadgets, it didn't look good. God has a different outcome. I'd rather trust and believe God's outcome. Can I get an amen? His outcome is better. He brings me joy. He doesn't suppress me. I don't fall into depression with his joy. Saints, Jesus' desire and objective is to increase our love, our devotion, and commitment to him. Yet often all we want is for him to fix our situation now. I want it fixed now. So listen to me, saints. If he doesn't intervene according to our time schedule, it's because he's working in us to build and strengthen our loving relationship with him. He's just saying, draw closer to me. Man, come on, let me love on you right now. Go, take time out. Yeah, that's not going away. Come here. Let me love on you right now. Show your love toward me because I love you with an endless love. That's what God says to us. And as we draw closer to him, as we start loving on him, and we're reminded he loves us despite of our circumstance, then guess what? That big old giant, wow, all of a sudden becomes so small. You go, man, what was I so worked up over that? Because he will melt our hearts with his love. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If you know God's plans are the best plans, you won't find yourself when situations arise and fall into that funk. Let me use that term, you know, that means despair. Why? Because God said it. How many rather believe what God says about us? I could tell you all day long how much he loves you and the plans he has for you, but you have to hear it from God himself. Can I get amen? Because he says right here in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil." Look at that. To give you a future and a hope.
Thank you,
oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He has the best plan for us, despite of ourselves, despite of the circumstance. You got to believe God. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Trust in him, saints. But we find ourselves sometimes, not all, but just some of us, in this faction right up here, we are ignorant of God's ways. We're just ignorant. Listen, I didn't learn all this overnight. By the grace of God, I've been walking with him because he's kept me. He's kept me for 30 years. I'm learning as we go. As you grow, I grow. That's how it works. None of us learn this overnight. It's a process in our life. Can I get amen? And from one trial to the next trial, he's strengthening us. We're sharpening our swords. Not to have a sword fight with each other.
That's right.
To be ready for the enemy when he comes.
Amen.
Your brother and your sister is not your enemy. I hope you know that.
Yes, that's right.
Your unbelieving family is not your enemy.
Right.
It's the one that wants to destroy your soul. That's your enemy. When we understand more about God's ways as revealed in His Word, saints, we will become more patient when He answers, and especially when they're delayed. Knowing that He gives us what's best for us just at that right time. But if we are ignorant of His ways, you know what? You know how we'll respond? With anger. Anger. Then we'll start blaming.
Yes.
And then we'll have accusations toward God.
Mercy.
You know, when we had our four nights of prayer, I know her name, but someone that doesn't attend here, just came a couple times, came up to me. I was sitting in the table in the fellowship hall. I don't think what you said about God is true. And it was really loud, and you know, I was calm. I didn't get up and rebuke her. Because you know why? She's just ignorant of God's word.
That's it right there.
She's just ignorant of God's word. And I understood that. Well, but if you get right in their grill, guess what? You're ignorant of God's word now. Yeah. You're just throwing fuel on her fire. You see? You and I, though, have God's promises. Can I get an amen? Look at what it says in Isaiah. Remember. Say that with me. Remember. One more time again. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done. Did you catch that? There are still things in our life that are not yet done. So you got to declare Him of what He's done in the lives of the saints, what He's done in your life from the moment that you became one of His children. Remember what He's done. Remember, because He's consistent with us. He doesn't want us to ever doubt and waver on who He is. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Man, He wants to do pleasure in us that you can't even comprehend. In other words, He wants to use you mightily. And when you start teaching, when you start preaching, when you start serving, when you start dying to self and raising up people in the fear and admonition of the Lord, He's now taking pleasure in it. That's what He's taking pleasure in it. It's because you have yielded yourself to His will. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. But we fall into this trap. We carry guilt over present or past sins. Well, man, if only He would have known what I did. Man. I couldn't find parking, and I just cursed out that person. I can't come in here and praise Him now. We find ourselves that way, huh?
Yes.
Listen, if you get a hold that God is the one that's consistent,
thank you, Father.
That He's steadfast, He's immovable, He is the rock,
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He's asking us in this message this morning that we need to be steadfast with Him.
Yes, that's
right. We need to be steadfast with Him. Because if you really understand that the blood He shed on the cross has cleansed us from all transgressions, all iniquity. Just confess it and repent and move on. Can I get amen? Oh, you don't know, preacher. You don't know what I've done. Yeah, He does.
Yes, He does.
And He just washed you and cleansed you. Now move on from it.
Amen.
Keep it. Yeah, someone said keep it moving. Keep it moving. You know why? Because the devil wants to condemn you. And God's word backs up what we're saying right now, this very moment. He says it right here. Look at this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Can I get that? Can I get amen? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you've been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, come on. Now you're walking in truth. You're walking in God's presence. You're walking in God's anointing. Hallelujah. You'll lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You'll speak a word of life and speak a word of truth and watch them rise up. Hallelujah. Come on. And the devil will try to condemn you of your past. This is, you got to rebuke the devil. Said, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm in the army of God. He has recruited me. Hallelujah. Nothing formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. And every high thing that exalts itself above the word of God, I will cast down. And I will stamp it out. Hallelujah. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Don't let the devil dupe you. You got to remember that toothless wonder. He don't got no teeth to bite you. He just roars like he has teeth, but he ain't got no teeth.
That's right.
He don't even have any more denture care. Come on. So, saints, how do we correct our wavering faith? How? We begin by asking ourselves. We have to ask ourselves this. Where are these doubts coming from? Where are they coming from? They're not coming from God.
That's right.
They're not coming from God. If we are currently, if anyone is currently living in sin, we can expect confusion, doubt to arise. Did you catch that one?
Yes. That's right.
It's a rebellious one that hasn't come to grips. Say, you know what? God, your ways is better than mine. I repent. I confess. Let me move forward with you, God. But if you're wallowing in that sin and God's told you repeatedly, listen, you need to get right with me. Then that's not. This is not time to play church. This is time to be the church. Can I get amen? We need to be the church. You got a living girlfriend and a living boyfriend. It's time to, man, put that ring on me. Can I get amen? It ain't time. We don't have much time left. This is a time to get right or get left. Oh, yes. That's right. Look what Romans says here. The sinful mind is hostile to God. So if a person's living in sin, man, you're going to want to box with God all day long. Why? Because it's hostile to God. The unregenerated mind, the one that's not saved, the one that, or a child of God that just, man, I'm just in sin and I'm wallowing in it. It works both sides of the fence here. Oh, come on. Well, some of us got saved at one time, and we went right back and wallowed in the mire, huh? We were hostile to God. Look, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So no matter how much you want to say, well, you know, you understand. You know, I truly love her. I truly love her. One day will come. Yeah. No, God is saying, repent now before he comes back. Can I get amen? I know some of you ain't coming back next week. It's okay. I'll send a message to your email.
Get a hold of you.
Yeah. I'll get a hold of you somehow. That's right. Look. Look at that. Let me ask you. Did God promise to meet your needs? Huh? Did he? Did he promise to meet your needs? I won't touch this no more. But that false relationship needs to be forsaken Why? Because if you truly love him, all you'll need is him right now. You'll need him. Because he said in his word right here, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If he's not enough, I cannot help you no more. Can I get an amen to that? I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help myself. We all need help in areas in our life. Can I get amen? He's got to be the one we need. Because whatever is lacking, he will supply it. You want to be loved and you want to be, well, then he will love you. Get a hold of it, saints. We live in radical times. When you see the DVD, The Belly of the Beast tonight, y'all know we don't have much time left. We don't. However, we must learn to distinguish between our needs and our wants, some of which may be in conflict with his word. Saints, look at this. Did God not promise to be with you all time?
Yes, he did. Never leave me nor forsake
me. I wish I had that mic on. Speak that a little louder, right here.
Right.
No, right in here.
Never leave me nor forsake me.
Oh, come on now. Because that's what he said right up here. Look at that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why are you worried not trusting in him? Yeah, man, but that's a pretty old thing. Oh, he's on. And so Jesus is second fiddle. Huh? Is Jesus second fiddle? Saints, in his presence with us is a fact that does not depend on our feelings. Did you know he's with us despite of how we feel? Man, just imagine if he had our own mindset. Well, they don't feel like loving me today, so I'm not going to love them today.
Oh, mercy.
Guess what? We would never feel his presence. So my question is this. Have you come to a fork in the road in your life? Is God saying something to us right now as I speak? Is there something in your life that God is saying, you know what? Give that to me. I'm going to make it better. I have a better hope and a future for you. But you got to line it up to my will. You see, saints, our faith will never waver if we... put it this way. Our faith will waver if we are not living in God's word. It will waver all by itself. We don't even have to practice not wavering. It'll just go automatically. It'll go into a default mode.
Yeah, that's true.
The Bible is our spiritual compass to guide us. And it will never lead us the wrong way. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed? It'll never lead us the wrong way. Why? Why won't God's word lead us in a wrong way? Because King David wrote this right up here. Look at this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a light for you. You follow the light. Next time when the power gets shut off and it's at midnight and you can't see anything past your nose, put on a little flashlight, because that little light will lead you around, right? In the natural, God's word will lead you to eternal life. So, did God not give you the greatest gift of all, the indwelling Holy Spirit?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I shared this last night. I forget who it was. But people that just are introduced to God, let's just say they're just infants, they need to seek the Holy Ghost. They need the power of God. Because without the Holy Ghost, they will be emotional all day long. But when God sets in, then the war is over. They'll know in their soul, in their spirit, who master is now. Because when God sets in, he becomes the master of the house. And now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for living inside me. Now I submit to thee, O God. But right now, people, they're on the throne of their life. And they need to move out of the way and let God come in and sit there. I mean, you could say a sinner's prayer all day long. You could say it 50 times. That don't mean nothing. We do a sinner's prayer at the end to give a person opportunity, and we pray, oh God, make that connection. But only God can make that connection when that soul truly repents. He's got to repent. She got to repent. But even after they make a confession of faith, they need to now seek the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen?
Yes, that's right.
They were told in the book of Acts, go tarry and wait. There are some things sometimes when we just got to pray and say, oh God, Lord, hallelujah, fill me, God. I want you, God. You got to have a dogmatic mindset to truly seek the Lord, so that he can empower you and fill you with his presence. And when he comes in like a rushing mighty wind. You will know he's there. It's like if you have an empty pocket and you reach in and you pull it out and, man, it's empty. There's nothing in there. You keep reaching in, there's nothing in there. And then all of a sudden you reach in, who put that $100 in there? There's $100 in my, who put that in my, well, guess what? That's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, he's there, and you're going, oh my God, hallelujah. Man, joy unspeakable, full of glory. The corners of your mouth are pinned to your ears, man, and you're calling up people, guess what? And they all think you backslid somehow. You got to let these young folks know. God's bringing them to you. I don't know who you are, but God's bringing you some young folks that don't know who he is. And God is saying, point them to the Spirit of God. Why? Because only he, hallelujah, can fix their heart on the inside, eternally, inwardly. Hallelujah. We need his presence ever more so in our life and the days and times that we live in. Can I get amen? Because Jesus said it best, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Jesus said it. Pray for those who need God. And so never think that the sinner's prayer is in vain, because you don't know who God is. It hitting right between the forehead. We throw the seed out. Can I get an amen? Let the seeds fall where they may. And watch God do the miraculous. In closing, I always end with some questions here. I think we questioned ourselves all day long this morning. But I love, you know why? You know why I ask these questions? It makes us seek our heart. It makes us search our heart. We're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things in us that we sometimes don't see. Or maybe we forgot. Or maybe God is saying, hey, you know what? I'll take this from you and I'll give you something that's beautiful. Something that I can take pleasure in your life. Number one, what causes your faith to waver? What causes it? What is it in our lives that causes our faith to waver? Is it feelings? Is it circumstances? What is it? What causes us to, like, man, Here we go. Oh, I don't know. Oh, no. Number four. Uncertainty regarding God's will. Well, I don't know if that's what God has for me. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to give that up yet. I don't know. You know, God has a better plan. How many believe He has a better way? Amen. His ways are not our ways. We just read that. Amen. Look at number five here. What means has God provided to strengthen your faith in Him? What has He done to strengthen your faith? I said it earlier when I got over the pulpit this morning. He woke us up. That alone that He woke us up and gave us another day is proof, hallelujah, that He has provided and strengthened me for this day. He has given me more mercy and more grace for today. Tomorrow is not here yet. Yesterday's gone. He gives us one day at a time. He's given us right now. That's the means. Our health, our strength, our life, our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, and so on. Number six, are you availing yourself of these means? How many believe that we need to be dependent upon the Lord 24/7? That's right, huh? In the times that we live in, and the days that are growing darker right now, and what we see upon this nation, man, I'm telling you, you better run to God if you don't know Him. You better get with God. You better be close to His bosom. Let me just ask this simple question. It's not up here. If 1 million Russians and Chinese showed up on our shores, what would you do? Would you run? Do you have a place to hide? Maybe you have a big closet door. Maybe you got a big giant pillow you could put your head in it. Huh? And they won't see you. What will you do? We just better know who Christ is. Even at the point of death. Can I get an amen? How have you seen God answer your prayers in an unexpected way? Or on a later date than you wanted. How have you seen God answer your prayers? My brother knows a personal matter that I'm going through financially, and I had to surrender that issue. I had to. I had no other choice. I couldn't manipulate it. I had to just let it go. And this week, it came back double folded.
That's right. That's our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful.
Thank you, God.
The same amount that was taken away came back in a whole different way. You see, I think when you turn 50 and 60, you have, what do you call those, one of those Roto-Rooter things that they look up in you? And so 4 months ago, I made the appointment, and one of the assistant doctors, Dr. Roldan, we just started talking, and next thing you know, she goes, what do you do? And I told her, you know, I'm a realtor, and I love pastoring. That's my passion, but real estate is my bread and butter. And she remembered me.
Thank you, Jesus. God had her remembering.
She remembered me. And so yesterday, I submitted an offer for her in Claremont, and the offer got accepted. And the amount that was taken from me came right back. Yeah, at first it was like, man, what's up, man? How can that be? I was crying like a baby. But you know what? In those times, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. Because you have no control over it. Just do the right thing. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then he shows up mighty. He shows up, man. I'm telling you, because he wants the glory.
Yes, he does.
Can you give him the glory for the things he's doing in your life right now? Can you give him the glory? Can you praise him in the midst of your troubles right now?
Thank you, Lord.
God is saying, hold on to me.
That's right.
Hold on to the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Even if you just need to touch the hem of his garment.
Yes. Yes. Hold on to him.
Yeah. Just hold on. He's not going to let you go. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I think that was the last question. Let me... No, we got one more. What has this taught you about God's ways that will encourage you to trust him the next time your faith begins to wobble? I just gave myself up right now. Because I was, Brother G, remember that? I was weak at the knees. Brother G used to play the heck out of that song, Weak at the Knees, by Steve Arrington. Weak at the Knees. And I was wobbling. I took somebody back right now. But guess what? God's the one that will strengthen us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This message was for all of us. Can I get an amen?
Right.
I'm not. Hey, listen, if God's speaking to you, that's because he loves you. And he wants you to get right with him. Can I get an amen? He's not bringing this to harm you. He's here to strengthen you, to help you, so that you can grow further in faith. Can I get amen? And to learn to trust in his love. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are truly who you say you are. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're from everlasting to everlasting, for you are God, and there is no one that sits besides you. You are God alone. And you have wrought salvation for us with your right hand. And now we are seated in heavenly places. We are here because of you. We're here because we love you. We're here to say, oh God, have mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, continually, God. And so if you're here right now or listening on the internet and never surrendered your life to Christ, maybe there's an area right now in your life that say, oh God, you know what? I've been coddling this for a while, but I feel now I got to give it to you because you have a better plan for me. Whatever the case may be, ask God to fix it. Because you can't fix it and no one else can. Only God can fix it. So pray this simple prayer right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me, God, for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, fill me with your spirit. Let it overflow in my life. I need your power. I need the anointing of God. I need all that you have for me, that I may walk worthy of the call in my life. Lord Jesus, I commend all this, and I surrender all this to your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.